Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. We got the Rob Rant coming up later this hour. And Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will join us tomorrow on the show from Tampa Bay, and we will go over the Titans practice against the Buccaneers with him. So the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow, Kuharsky will be with us. So looking forward to that coming up on tomorrow's program. Joe, it is joint practice day for the Titans in Tampa Bay. They've got the game coming up on Saturday for the first game of the preseason. Just one practice against Tampa, and then they're going to stay on the road and go down to Atlanta to take on the Falcons next week. So lots of time on the road coming up here for the Titans in the preseason. Let's start, you know, just with Tampa and what we're going to see and hear this week. Obviously, you know, in Tampa Bay, I would not describe, you know, as an elite team by any stretch of the imagination. Like, it's not like it's the Philadelphia Eagles that the Titans are taking on out there. So it's not some impenetrable wall that they're playing against this week. However, they are a good team. Baker Mayfield has played extremely well in that offense the last couple of years. And defensively with Todd Bowles, you know that there's going to be a high level of aggression. You're going to see a lot of blitz looks out there if you're Cam Ward. And I'm very interested to see, number one, how much Tampa Bay shows them, the looks that they get, which I would imagine it's going to be a lot, which is part of the reason you do these joint practices. And number two, how does the Titans offensive line handle it? How do they pick those things up? And how does Cam Ward react to it? So I guess what intrigues you the most about the joint practice with Tampa Bay this week, Joe Rexrod?
Well, I think I have to pivot on this. I mean, in light of what happened yesterday, what intrigues me the most is we talk so much on this program about Brian Callahan endearing himself to his team, to Titans fans. So there's going to be a fight, and I expect Brian Callahan to throw himself head first into the damn thing. And I don't care if you come out looking like a banana in a blender. It's time to suck it up, buddy. Let's be tough.
It's your
let's
time,
be tough,
Brian.
And let's prove, like, you know, Vrabes thinks he can throw himself into the middle of the thing, come out with a scratch. Like, what if Brian Callahan actually did that? Like, he just come out looking like a tomato can boxer who just like fought Tyson in the 1980s or something. So that's one thing I'm looking for. On the serious football side of it, yeah, it just some offensive success. I mean, someone brought up, I think Craig and JC, I think he brought up Seattle last year. That was, I think we can look back and say, a little bit of a hint of things to come, because it was very much like, yeah, I mean, Seattle, you know, I mean, my recollection of those days, it wasn't like Seattle just completely mopped the field with them in every single drill. But overall, you came away like, yeah, Seattle's a much better team than them. And Seattle wasn't great last year, right?
Right.
Tampa Bay right now going into this year compared to like Seattle going into last year, it's probably comparable. Like you said, they're good. We will see, you know, if you want to talk about their fortunes this year. I mean, some people think that like Liam Cohen is a big loss, you know, and that they're going to suffer for that. We'll see. But yeah, they've got, you know, good team. And certainly they got some guys who challenge a defense. So some of this is also just like the one-on-ones when you get up against some of their best players and things like that. But I mean, is anything that's going to happen today going to alter how you view the 2025 Tennessee Titans?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess the one thing I would say on that is, like, if it's so bad, like if it's just clear that they're getting absolutely dominated on both sides of the ball out there, like, that's the other thing. Like, so we're going to be paying so much attention to the offense and how they go up against Tampa Bay's defense. But the defense, don't forget, has largely dominated the Titans' offense in practice at this point. And what if Baker Mayfield just goes out there and just lights them up? Like, right. What if they just light up the Titans' defense? So, I mean, I guess that would be the one thing where it's like if they just get totally dominated by Tampa Bay at this practice, it's like, okay, like how bad are these guys? Like how bad's this gonna be this year? But like Joe, I mean, honestly, aren't we asking some of that already, right? Like
Yes.
it's a rookie quarterback and a team that I think their over under win total at Vegas is 5.5. So like nobody expects them to be very good. I would love for them to go out there and hold their own. Like just hold your own in an NFL practice. I don't think that's that much to ask from an NFL football team.
No, I don't think it is either. And like something I expect to hear is, I expect to hear about Jeff Simmons having some dominant reps. It'd be very surprising if he didn't. But who else would you go down the line? I mean, you'd like to hear about, the young receivers making some plays, some of these DBs. I mean, that's great test for Titans DBs. Obviously, even if L'Jarius Sneed were like active, he probably would do very little anyway. But like the corners who are playing, you got some good them dudes, who you're going against. So yeah, like you just, I mean, to me, like just to move forward with some hope that there's progress being made, that some people might be getting better, that there is growing confidence, all that stuff. You'd like to hear some positive periods and then a team period, some level of success for both sides of the ball. Like if there's none, yeah, you're not playing the Eagles here. You're playing the Bucks.
Well, also, last year with the joint practices against Seattle, what was it, 2 minute, and like Will Levis threw a pick on the first play, and then they just
Right.
cut it off. First off, don't throw a pick on the first play in 2 minute. That would be great if you're Cam Ward. But if you do, let's throw him back out there and get him some work. I understand that there are real life game consequences. This ain't a game. This is practice. Let's get your young quarterback as much work in this as you could possibly get him, right? And I understand that, he's going to play in the preseason game on Saturday. We were basically told yesterday by Brian Callahan that I don't know if that's a series or two series. That's probably the max of what it's going to be on Saturday. So get your quarterback some good work in this. And if he makes some mistakes, which he inevitably will, that's fine. But give him the work against Tampa Bay.
Oh, absolutely. Keep it going. Whatever is happening, keep it going. Get every rep in that you can get. I agree with Jared on the YouTube chat about O-line. I mean, that's, can you, it has been, I heard Big Joe and Nick Frazier talking yesterday. I think Nick said something like, is it bad that we had just haven't heard that much about about the offensive line, about Dan Moore and Big Joe. I agree with Big Joe. He's like, no, it's beautiful. That's a great thing, right? Boring is what you want. So okay, well now granted, we have heard about the interior getting beat by Jeff Simmons a lot, but that's okay, that's something that adds up, that makes sense, especially with the shape he's in. I'm telling you, he's going to be a problem for anybody. The way he looks right now, the way he's moving right now, is going to be a problem for anybody who tries to block him this year if he's going to move like that. But what about these guys, these tackles? Is there success? Is there pass? And that's, again, I mean, a huge part of the game Saturday too, to me, is whenever the ones are on the field, are they creating a pocket for this guy? Because you got to give him pockets.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans hitting the field against Tampa Bay for a joint practice. What do you want to hear about with the Titans? What is your biggest concern for their practice against Tampa Bay? We'll get into that. Plus, an area of the football team that we are probably not discussing enough heading into the season. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 the game.
Defenses, we've seen them have the upper hand a lot out here in these training camp practices. How eager are you to see them tested by a pretty potent Buccaneers offense with Mayfield and those receivers?
I think it's great. We get a chance to go against two, I think, really talented offensive teams when you look at their roster and their talent. And, Tampa Bay was a playoff team last year. They won 10 games. They've done a really good job. So to see go against Baker and that skill group they have there, which is incredibly talented, it's a good offensive line. It's going to be a great test for us, and that's why I look forward to these joint practices. Is you get to measure against somebody else, and you get to see how you respond against different competition in a different color jersey. Really excited about that, but certainly a stiff test for the defense because that's a good operation there on offense.
That's Brian Callahan looking ahead to the joint practices coming up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're taking your thoughts on that at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, first off, Ron on the text line says, afraid of injuries, can't afford an injury before the season starts, especially on the offensive line. So, yes, hopefully they avoid that for sure. Skyler says, let's see competent special teams from the Titans. I'm not asking for amazing special teams. I'll take average. Pre-snap penalties on the offensive line. They need to look like a well-coached team. This from Skyler on the text line. I would agree with all that.
Yep, I'd agree with all that. You know, the fear of injuries, that you're going to have injuries. You know, again, like just going into these preseason games in particular. I mean, the practices, whoever's available is going to participate in the practices. That's good work. It is a little higher level of risk just because, again, you know, no one's – there's a little more natural taking it easy on a teammate, I think, that happens in a team's practice than when you go out. Now you're trying to – you know, you're going off guys against another team. You're kind of like trying to, you know, fight for your team and things like that. So you have a higher risk. But, again, with this team, that's why in the preseason games, you're trying to – build something. And so to me, you need to get people work, and you just can't think as much about that as I would think about it. If I had like a contending team, a veteran contending team, I would approach the preseason differently than I would this team.
So there's an area of the team that we're probably not talking about enough heading into the season that I think is going to be crucial, particularly early this year. And that is the running game. And we know, like, we feel good about the Titans running game, right? So that's probably why we're not talking about it as much as we probably should be, because we feel good about it. But you've got Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, who I think are still going to be your 1-2 punch. And we'll see how much more, if at all, that Spears is involved in the running game this year. You know, I was looking around at some prop bets last night, Joe, just to see kind of like what Vegas has for some of these running backs and the over-under. And, like, for instance, like, Derrick Henry's over-under in Baltimore is 13.25.5, right? Like, it's pretty high number. You got Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. His over-under is 1,400.5. So, pretty high numbers for both those guys, as you would expect. Tony Pollard's is 875.5, which is not very high. Now, you also look at Tony Pollard's career, and he's basically been, for the last 3 years, like, right at 1,000 yards. He got over it last year, 1,079, which was his best year from strictly a yardage total standpoint. Year before that in Dallas, it was 1,005. And in 2022 in Dallas, it was 1,007. So he's kind of been right around a 1,000-yard back the last 3 years. Like, to me, Joe, they need hit that needs to be kind of like the baseline of what he is this year. When you're talking about a rookie quarterback, hopefully an improved offensive line, and again, assuming health in this conversation. Like, if I'm a Titans fan and you're assuming Pollard's going to be healthy, I'd be hammering the over of 875.5, because they're going to absolutely need him to be over that number at the end of the year.
Yeah, that, man, that seems almost like an easy play right there. I would expect him to be right around 1,000. You know, is Tajay Spears going to take some of that work? I mean, there is some talk about Spears looking better and Spears getting a little bit more, getting a little in a little bit more of a partnership back there. And that would be, you know, that would obviously be one way that Pollard's number could go down and they could still have a good running game.
Yeah.
But at this point, I would think he'd be around that. And yeah, it's a very big deal. Huge part. I mean, what things help a quarterback most? I mean, I would argue, I mean, a running game is right up there, you know, with anything. And so, and yes, I know everybody. Yes, Ryan Tannehill never did anything good here. We all know that, right? It's all Derrick Henry. But seriously, it's a big deal, and it seems like it's looked promising for the Titans. But this is a week where that part of your team, I think, really gets exposed or can show out a little bit where you just didn't know. Because look, in any of these team practices, for the most part, there's very little actual live tackling football that happens, even in these full pad days. So, I mean, it's some today, but also certainly Saturday when you give it back a chance to break a tackle, what does that look like? And I think this offensive line, again, we think Moore is going to be an improvement. How much? I have no idea, but some level of improvement. You think Latham is going to be better. He certainly is slimmer. That's a good thing at right tackle. But I think as a run-blocking group, adding Zeitler with Skoronski, with Latham, you've got a chance to be, I think, a very powerful run-blocking group, and that could be really one of the best aspects of this team this year.
Well, they're going to get tested right out of the gate because they're, Denver was the third best defense in the league against the run last year, just in terms of yards per game. They gave up 96.4 yards per game last year on the ground, which was third best in the league. Now, again, there are some limitations to what that actually means. Like, we know if you want to go strictly by the yardage total, well, then you would say, well, the Titans are an elite team against the pass because the Titans last year only gave up 177 yards per game through the air. Never mind, games where they gave up a billion yards on the ground, and we all watched the Titans defense. It was not that great last year. But, I mean, look, there's no doubt Denver is a good defense. Denver can get after the quarterback, and Denver has been stout against the run. So, like, pretty much in every way you want to be challenged, you're going to get challenged by that Denver Broncos defense in week one. So, we talked about that so much and what that means for Cam Ward, but like the run blocking for the Titans, right? Like, you're going to get a pretty good look and a pretty good test as to where exactly they are with that in week one against what last year was a very stout Denver defense against the run.
Yeah. That's a thing. This week is the first test against another team. And actually, I think, really, you look at what Atlanta has done, and I think it's another, I mean, they've really worked hard to try to build up their defense. I think they're going to have a pretty good defense this year. So I think, the Titans offense is going to get some good looks here with these teams, but then it's all, it elevates, especially on the road in that first game. It's going to be one of the tougher games for the offense of the whole season.
Yeah, for sure. And throughout the year, as they go along, like Pollard's going to have to be a big part of what they do. Now, what is Pollard's ceiling as a runner? I don't know, right? Like, if he's completely healthy the whole year and the offensive line is pretty good at run blocking, what's he going to be? Because we know, like, for the majority of his career in Dallas, he did not – I mean, he wasn't the lead back. Now, 2023, when he was coming back and had that, that season where his yardage total, his yards per attempt, dipped from 5.2 to 4 from 2022 to 2023. He was dealing with coming back from the injury. But that was really the year that he was the quote-unquote lead back in Dallas. Last year he's the lead back here, obviously, and he ends up with 1,079 and 5 touchdowns on 260 carries. So what's that number look like for him with an improved offensive line? How many carries do you want from Tony Pollard this year? Like, is 260 just right? Is 260 too much? Like, I'd be interested to see how the Titans view that. And the secondary part of that, Joe, is, like, it's one thing to think it's too much, but do you actually have another back on your roster who can legitimately take some of those carries away? You've been wanting Spears to be that guy, and so far he hasn't been. So is he going to be this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm guessing he has a little bit more of a role, but it's hard for me to see this all of a sudden turn into some real two back situation like a lot of teams have. And Mullings, I do like him a lot, but it's hard for me right now to see him having a regular role. Again, short yardage, like, he could be, maybe a factor, but I think it's still going to be primarily Pollard. Like you said, 260 last year, the year before 252, he had never been over 200. So then you get into, okay, so he's 28 years old. Now tread's coming off the tires. Typically with running backs, right, you people look at that three in front of as the first number of the age, and it's like, oh, run away, And I mean, realistically, you know, he may have like a couple years left of being that level of production if he is like a lot of backs, and then you kind of have to start thinking of what's next. I don't think Spears, from what we've seen of him, is going to be a lot more than a third down back in his career.
Take your thoughts on the Titans running game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. You can help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615, sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. This is Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5 The Game. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics' Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters the most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. By the way, Kuharski down there in Tampa Bay, we'll have him on the show tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Joe, he says it's going to be hot. The feels like temperature going to be over 100 degrees as Titans practice against the Buccaneers gets going. So my guess is, Joe, you could see some tempers flare a little bit. That tends to happen when it's that hot out there. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Although it's interesting when people talk about stuff like that, because it's like, why did the Vikings ever go to war then? You know?
It's a good question.
Nice and cold, and yet they still...
I mean, that would be when my temper flares. Like, if I'm out there in the cold, I'd be very upset.
So it's anything extreme.
Yeah.
So it's anything that's not, like, comfortably, like, in the, like, 75 to 82 range.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you're that temperature, you are a nonviolent person.
Yeah, a little bit calmer. I mean, I would even stretch it to, like, for me, anything from, like, 72 to 91, I'm pretty cool with.
Like, was Gandhi always at a perfect temp? You know what I mean? Like,
don't know.
Mother Maybe Teresa? So. You know, have like a little fan, keep yourself at a certain, I don't know. What's Vrabel's body temp? Like, what does it mean if you like
to throw yourself? It must have been too hot yesterday.
Into the middle of a pile of people beating the crap out of each other. Like, what does that mean?
Well,
he thinks he's Indiana Jones.
When he got hit by whatever he got hit by that caused him to bleed from his cheek, did that set him off? Like, did he think about, you know, trying to fight at that point? I don't know. He's listening to the show right now, so if he wants to text in, just ask us. I'd love to know his thoughts.
I know. I'm sick of him hate listening and not just coming on the show. You know?
It's like, last time we heard, it was maybe, right?
Yeah.
We need to check back.
He's like, oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll get that done real soon. He absolutely is listening. Yeah, there you go.
Waiting on. Abel on the YouTube chat says, I would hammer the over for Pollard on that line. The last year, the line was got awful. He still got 1,000 yards. I mean, 875.5 again. You know, let me put it to you this way. If Tony Pollard is completely healthy, Joe, and he doesn't have more than 875 yards, I will be, number one, very surprised by that. And number two, unless there is just some unbelievable emergence from Tajay Spears that I can't predict sitting here on August the 7th, unless that happens, that's probably not a good thing for the Titans. Like, if Tony Pollard is under 875 and he's healthy, that's not good for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine, unless, like you said, because Spears got 650. Okay. Right. Spears got 500. Okay. Well, then that, and then not completely ruling that out. That would probably be the way people would get screwed, but I tend to agree with Abel. That seems like an easy one where that is set right there.
The right side of the line.
That might be a little tempting.
Feels like it could be pretty good run blocking.
I agree.
When you go Zeitler and Latham on the right side, I mean, feels like some people movers over there.
I totally agree.
Yes.
Like I think, and look, you know, we've talked about this. Skoronski got better as the year went on last year. And we have seen Skoronski, Joe, have some reps where he's a mauler out there in the running game. Now we'll see what that looks like this year. And to me, yeah, he's as big of a question as anybody on that offensive line of, like, what exactly are you going to see from him? But I'm with Ian. Like, I look at Latham and Zeitler on that right side, and I think there's an opportunity there. If Latham is what we think he can be at right tackle, for them to have some pretty good success running the ball that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, obviously it's all – the whole thing matters. Someone asked earlier about if Brunskill's playing center, it's definitely not Daniel Brunskill. Yeah, Corey Levin is the guy, and I think he'll be the guy. You know, I'm expecting him to be the guy at least for the first couple weeks. So obviously that, you know, that is a weak link. I mean, that's you know, your line is different with him than a full go, healthy and playing at his best, Cushenberry. You know, which so that's part of why I think the offensive line probably is going to be better a month into the season, 2 months in the season, again, provided it doesn't have huge injuries elsewhere, than it is at the beginning of the season. And then how much does that affect the run game going from Levin to Cushenberry?
Yeah. Like I look at the run game and there, I like the rest of the offense, you're looking around and you're like, okay, how many actual weapons does Cam Ward have to help himself? And maybe Gunnar Helm turns into one of those, but I don't feel great about tight end right now. Like Chig with a ball in his hands, we've seen before, can do some things. But I mean, last year was pretty underwhelming for Chig. So what does that look like this year? At receiver, I feel good about Ridley. Beyond that, I'm very skeptical, and I'm hopeful with some of the rookie wide receivers, but I'm pretty skeptical of their wide receiver room. So like Pollard and Spears. But specifically Pollard is going to have to be a – like if you're going to see progress from the Titans offense this year, and I know everybody's going to point to the quarterback, and yes, that's the most important part. But to me, like Pollard still has to be a huge part of it, because in terms of proven playmakers and the stage of the careers that they're at. So like Lockett is a proven playmaker, but he's going to be 33 years old. And like Pollard's 28. And he's at a spot right now where they need him to be one of their best players on offense this year. And if he's not, then I continue to look around the rest of the room or the rest of the offense, and I'm like, I'm just not quite sure you've got enough if Pollard doesn't have a really good year.
No, I totally agree with that. Quick trivia for you. Where's Daniel Brunskill?
Daniel Brunskill.
Don't look up. Don't
I'm not looking. I'm not looking it up. I'm thinking in my head. Houston.
That's a good guess. Miami Dolphins. I did not know.
Apparently, that's where everybody goes.
You got
Aukerman down there. Stonehouse. NWI.
Nashville Brunskill. South, baby.
Yeah.
Nashville South.
Aaron Brewer went down there.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't speak well for the Dolphins, getting all these Titans over the last couple years.
Tough as a $2 steak. I'm going to read this text real quick. Texter says, 40 years ago when I played high school football, every practice was all full pads, full tilt all the time. Please explain the NFL and how they do practices within team practices against other teams' preseason games. What's the difference? Are practices against other teams full pads, full tilt? First of all, real quick, aside for you, 38 years ago was my last year of football, ninth grade, JV, and I got absolutely obliterated. I got concussed multiple times. I was like, you know, I'm going to stick with basketball and baseball. Totally. It was like, this is a time period when you, like, as you know, Texter, you know, like you're getting water withheld from you if you mess up a drill, right? Like that's how it was back in the day. Things are massively different, and they should be, right? I mean, they should be different, but obviously the NFL is also the NFLPA, which has not had many wins, but one of their wins is that they've been able to, you know, chop down on padded practices, full practices, number of practices, all these things, which is a player safety thing. But then it also, then you have the issues with performance. And I think we do see the ill effects sometimes early in these seasons. But yes, these, like today, should be full pads. usually the joint practices are, they want to get in teamwork. They look at it kind of, coaches look at it kind of like games, right? In some ways, some game situations and some actual tackling, not quarterbacks. They still are wearing the jerseys and stuff like that, but these are full tilt. And of course, the preseason games are, here's an interesting thing I saw, Robbie. I think it was Easton Free said this, which I don't hate this idea at all. What if they did preseason games but they just did the quarterback in the red jersey? But other than that, it's just a regular game. Would that be so bad? Because you'd see quarterbacks playing you'd get Joe Milton for a whole half or a whole game, or Cam Ward for a whole game Saturday night, I bet.
Yeah, but they're not playing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I understand the thought. I really do. Because, I don't want to see the seventh string quarterback from, North Wright State out there at some point in the fourth quarter. So I get all that. But, to me, if you're going to play football, play football. Let's play some football out there.
I mean, I think the thing is, I do like the idea in terms of you're going to have them out there. And, Mahomes will play a whole – so the games, in a way, would be more interesting. But at the same time, you can't fake, I can get tackled.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
In a brain. So when that's what it's going to be like in real football. And that's, so it's like, if you always know you're not going to feel the pain of a tackle, there's just something different for your brain, right? In your subconscious, totally. You're just going to go about things differently.
There's no doubt about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
First of all, congratulations on a great attempt at a chat and cut. Really good.
You can run it every snap or you can throw it every snap.
Of course he is! It's like Joe Milton!
99 times out of 100, that's gonna work. Unfortunately, I happen to be on the line. So
this probably needs to be a Creed day.
The oohs and the ahs from some of you guys, the cooing. Go, go, gaga.
Fat fingers. What does that mean?
In what ways has he been a great addition?
Who's got the next question, Robbie?
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. I just saw my friend.
Yeah, I know a chat and cut when I see it.
Okay.
Do you know her at all?
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning here on the show. I will continue to say, Joe, I get texts from people multiple times a week about how good Ian Safar is at these mashups for the rant. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like Herbie Hancock on the keyboard, man.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get to him just in a second. So let me just start with this. It should be legal to open hand slap people who purposely cut in line. That's where I'm going to start on this. Like that, we should make a law where if you purposefully cut somebody in line because you think that your time, I guess, is more valuable than somebody else's, you should be allowed to be punched. And I've run into this situation a few times over the last couple of weeks, and then progressively, you'll be shocked to know, Joe, becoming less and less patient and less inclined
long
to
views.
Not just totally lose my stuff on people. So, a couple of weeks ago, we're in Disney, right? And I've gone with you about the lines for rides stuff. But this was like checking into our resort, like hotel. So we got there and, unfortunately, a lot of people got there at the same time. So there's a little bit of a line, not a huge one, but a little bit of a line at the front desk to check in and get situated and all that stuff. But like a very visible line, and it was going pretty quick. So it really wasn't that big of a deal. But like two people, two separate parties, just like walked in front of us when this happened. And it wasn't just us, but walked in front of us because they had a question for the front desk person. It's like, I gotta, when can we get in our room? Like, there's somewhere I gotta be. When can we get in our room? And I'm like, do you not see the line here? Like, do you think that we're all standing here for our health? Your time, I guess, is way more important than our time. So just by all means, run up in front of everybody and start asking all your questions. But the one that really got me was at the gas station the other day. I ran in the gas station. It's hot outside. Went in there, grabbed a quick water, quick Diet Coke, and was like, you know what?
I'm going to get in here, get something to drink real quick before I head back outside. And of course, like, there's one person working the cash register, and for whatever reason, it was just an all-out blitz into this gas station at one time. So the line ends up being like six people deep. So I'm waiting, you know, somebody's up at the front there fidgeting around with their hands, trying to find the exact, you know, cigarettes that they're looking for. It's taking forever. So that person goes by. The next person gets up there and they've got groceries. So they just want to get, you know, 30 groceries at the gas station. So that's what they do. So all of a sudden I've been in line for like 5 minutes and I'm still like four or five people away from being at the front. So the person before me, somebody walks in the entrance and just walks right in front of them and starts talking to the cash register guy and asking questions. And that just drove me nuts. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing? Do you not see this line here? Do you not see all of us standing here? Do you think that your time is more valuable where you can just walk up?" And of course the person, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." "No, you're not sorry. You're sorry that you got called out on it. Quit cutting people in line just because you think your time is more valuable." It drives me nuts. I think it's the root cause of a lot of problems we got here in this country, Joe, of people thinking that their situation and their time is more important than everybody else. And quite frankly, I've had enough of it, and I'm going to snap at some point.
So if a politician ran on a platform of not punch, open hand slap, you get one legal open-handed slap at a line cutter, that you would vote for that. You would vote for that politician.
There's no doubt. Yeah. I'd be all in.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. Like, just the absolute screw you to everybody else that some people walk around with. It's amazing to me how they've made it through life this far.
So I do have to admit, okay, on the hotel one, I have seen a huge line, and it's all people checking in, right? So it's checking in, and you know it's going to be, okay, yeah, let me see your card, and here, blah, 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 your reservation, you know. And I have had to say something, like, I think maybe, like, you know, dropped off a key or, like, checking out of room 235, you know, stuff like that. I have quickly, you know, communicated with the desk person. Well, I guess technically cutting in front of that line. Would you open hand slap?
So you'd be slapped, is what we're saying here.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like, dude, it's just something real fast. And I mean, all these people are checking in, like, that's just such a long time, you know?
I will say the people that I had a problem with was the they were actually trying to check in, so it was a much different situation. I would probably have a slightly more forgiveness if you were just like dropping a key card off, but I'd still probably think about it for a second. I would.
That might maybe like trying to think what would be like a step down from an open-handed slap. You know, maybe like a flick the ear.
Yeah,
you know, maybe a little one of those. Maybe. So. Maybe?
Yeah.
Wet willy, maybe a little quick wet willy.
Maybe so. Eric in Buffalo says, "Robbie's one step closer to the edge. He's about to break." Maybe, man. Like, I don't know. I guess I've learned that maybe I don't need to be around people all that much. You know, maybe that's just a big problem for me. But the dude in the gas station just about sent me over the edge, man. Like, the just walking, like, been sitting in there for 10 minutes, which, again, I'm not mad. Like, I'm not mad at the one worker they've got in the gas station. Like, I felt bad for him. But, like, they just walk in the entrance to the gas station and just jump in front of everybody else. And it just about made me come unglued.
So was he trying to actually, by talking, like, distract people and actually cut in front of you all?
I guess. I don't know. Like, he just walked right up to the front of the counter and just started talking to the guy. And it's like, hey,
that's a great call out on your part. That's a great call out.
I guess, that's the other thing. I guess people just allow that to happen because I guess they just don't want conflict. But it got to the point with that guy where I was almost like, yeah, please come over here and try to hit me. I will absolutely unload on you right now. But it didn't escalate to that part.
Skyler says Rex shows part of the problem, thinking he's better than everybody. I'm not at all. However, Josh from Columbia says, what if I jump in after somebody just paid. The next person's walking up, and I ask for a receipt for my gas because the receipt didn't print at the pump. It takes 2 seconds. Robbie is double, boom, boom, slap, slap.
I mean, sorry, again, Josh. I would think about it for a second. I'd be like, hey, what's this guy doing up here? I don't know.
And to everybody, I would definitely, like, I would not cross Robbie. I just wouldn't, man.
See, now you're making me sound like a total psycho.
Well, no, but I mean, like, yeah, just, you're kind of a big guy, and you've got a, you know, you've got a healthy ability to get pissed off. you're not low T like the Titans.
That's probably the best way that's ever been described. Michael and Madison wondering if I would say that I'm 6 feet from the edge. Thank you. Let's get a little Creed in there. As always, comes back to Creed some way, somehow.
6 feet from the edge is a Creed song?
Yeah, 6 feet from the edge, and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet in So Far Down. Come on, Joe.
Oh, this is a deep cut.
No, it's one of their most popular songs.
It's called 6 Feet from the Edge?
It's not called that. It's just the lyrics that are in there.
What song is it?
What song is that? What's the name of it? I'm trying to think.
Is it Wide
Open? It is not that one. No, I'm thinking of the entire song in my head right now. For some reason, can't think of the name of the song. I'm sure the text line will light up here in a second, but it is one of their most popular songs.
Yeah. And it sucks. And so now people are trying to get me pissed off.
Wes in Clarksville with another good one. The people that wait in the line to order food and then they get up to the front and don't know what they want. I think I've ranted about that one before. That one also bothers me. It's like you've been sitting in this line for a significant amount of time and then you get up to the place where you're ordering and you have no clue what you want. Good stuff.
That's a tough one. I mean, I've even felt like the – If you get up there and even like, if you're that person and you get up there and you stumble a little bit, you're like, I even feel like, oh my God, like you need to be like right there. So apparently that's from the song Higher.
Duh. Yeah. I can't believe I couldn't think of that. Yeah. Higher, which you've heard a billion times.
Need to be way, way higher to be able to handle that crap.
Well, and I think also
that Kaharski gets,
I think Scott Stapp blessed us one time on the Preds band stage out there. So maybe he'll do that again this year.
I was there.
I know.
Fortunately.
I know. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports is coming up next. We'll get into the all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
What did the five fingers say to the face?
What?
Slap!